Lindsay, thank you for joining me on this mini-sode.
Yeah, of course.
One thing you and I did not talk about on the main interview was the idea of the rainbow bridge. And I have a friend who had a baby who wasn't breathing at first when she came into the world. She was in another place, in another plane, and she literally felt like she saw a bridge, and her baby was on the other side being held by her parents who had already passed away. Or her grandparents. I don't remember right now which one it was. Anyway, my friend ran across the bridge and grabbed the baby, after, with a smile and a nod. It wasn't just like a kidnapping. And she brought her across to the other side. And that was my introduction to the Rainbow Bridge. Now my friend has this happy, healthy, 4-year-old, but it was a close call where it almost seemed like her daughter didn't make it into this life. Is the Rainbow Bridge a place of transition? Describe it to us as you understand it.
So I know the Rainbow Bridge originally through Rudolf Steiner's teachings. Rudolf Steiner in Waldorf education, when a kindergartner goes from kindergarten into the upper grades, they cross the Rainbow Bridge. And once I realized that the Rainbow Bridge is associated with every transition in life, it really brought together that piece of birth and death. And so what you just described with your friend is that rainbow bridge, and that baby was up in the heavens with the parents or the grandparents, and she had to go cross that rainbow bridge and bring that baby down to earth. That's an experience that I witness on a very regular basis with birth. And then, we hear a lot too with animals, like that's how people will announce the death of an animal, that their animal crossed the rainbow bridge. And so I find that it's this beautiful symbol that we can use for those transitions in our life. And it's not just birth and death, but it's that kindergartner crossing the bridge. It's that maiden that is getting her period and crossing that bridge into womanhood. It's that mother that is empty nesting, and as her kids leave the house, she's moving more into a different space out of mother, which she'll always be a mother, of course, but she moves kind of into that crone stage. And so those bridges connect all of these transitions, and what a beautiful symbol to see with it being a rainbow.
It is beautiful. And I'm thinking a bridge is also an apt symbol because not all bridges are steady.
Not all bridges are steady.
And for that young woman transitioning from childhood to adulthood with her menstrual cycle, or a kid graduating from college, let's say that those life transitions are scary. You're like, now what? I'm entering a new stage and phase, and that's when we need each other, right?
That's when we need each other, and that's why those rites of passages are so important. If we look back to Native cultures, there was always ceremony around those. And so if we are able to, I mean, it doesn't have to be the same ceremony that was performed throughout all of these years, we can come up with our own ceremony. So I know with my daughter, when she was moving into menstruation, I hosted a tea for her class. All of the girls in the class came to the tea, and all of the moms, we sat around in a circle and we lit a candle from a little candle, and we all discussed what we loved about being a woman. Imagine if every little girl heard that. Imagine if instead of it being this curse, it was revered as this wonderful, beautiful thing to be a woman.
I find that so moving. And I can just tell you my own personal story. I remember when I first got my cycle, I cried. And I said to my mom, I'm not going to have fun anymore because I didn't understand the beauty. No one, my mom comforted me and said, it'll be fine, but it was like more like a little pat on the back and moving on. But there was no ceremony or sense of support as I transitioned into this new phase of my life.
I mean, even if we look at the Jewish culture, bar and bat mitzvahs, that's celebrating that 13-year transition. And so it's something that we really should take a step back and incorporate more into our culture and cultures around the world.
And if we don't have a cultural tradition, we can invent one.
Make our own. Go and pick flowers and, bring in red flowers and let's have a tea ceremony. Let's just talk. Let's just connect our hearts. That's just the most important piece as humans, is that we feel connected.
Speaking of traditions, with both of the folks who passed away that you mentioned in the previous interview, you said that you anointed them with frankincense. Was that a tradition of a particular culture?
Frankincense is mentioned a lot in the Bible, so I always revere it as a holy oil. And if you look at different cultures, I've read plenty of different books. One of my favorite is The Tibetan Art of Dying. And in that, they close the chakra system, and they use some sort of oil. It doesn't necessarily say frankincense, but they use some sort of oil on the body just to anoint their holy body as it transitions. And so every culture has its own little nuance to these things. If you dig and kind of scratch the surface a little bit, you'll find it. But usually there is a common thread that weaves these stories together.
And part of that ceremony is a gratitude and a reverence, right?
It's gratitude. Gratitude and reverence always, yeah. There's one thing I want to end on really quick before, because I know you mentioned the Rainbow Bridge and I know you mentioned the baby was having a hard time breathing. And this is something I'm really passionate about. So we get to punch this into this little mini series right here.
Let's do it.
This is called optimal cord closure. So I want all of your listeners to be aware of the process that happens after birth. So imagine this beautiful, healthy placenta that's giving this baby all of its oxygen, all of its stem cells, you know, that cord is pulsating. And so as the cord pulsates, when the baby comes out, what's the first thing that you see in every movie, in every TV show? It's everybody racing around to figure out how to cut the cord.
Yeah.
So that's this like little weird piece of Western medicine that's been imprinted into our brains that's something that has to happen immediately following the birth. Now, physiologically speaking, if that needed to happen, then our babies would come out of the vagina holding a cord clamp, right? This plastic little piece. And they'd say, oh, you have to clamp my cord. You think about any farm animal, you think about any mammal, and that is not anything that happens. We don't clamp those cords, okay? And so what we know based on research, there's a doctor named Dr. Alan Green. He did a TED talk on this. He said that just if we gave those babies 90 seconds, now I let the cords pulsate way longer, but if we gave those babies 90 seconds, that they would have the optimal blood perfusion to support their transition from breathing fluid to breathing air. So what happens is when they are being born, they go down through the birth canal. They're kind of squished in that birth canal. And so a lot of the blood goes back up into the placenta. So if we cut that cord prior to them receiving that blood that was in their system prior to the squeeze, then they're actually being born in a state of physiological shock. And so what I always like to promote, even if this is just the one nugget you take away, even if you're having a hospital birth, even if you're high risk, what you can ask for is optimal cord closure or delayed cord clamping. And now what we're seeing time and time again with research is not only is it really good for making sure that they have those optimal oxygen levels, but we're also seeing that it's also good for their iron. And now we're seeing that it's good for their thyroid function if we let this cord pulsate until it stops pulsating on its own and then it's clamped and cut. So just that alone, you could go type in a Google search, look up Dr. Alan Green and the cord clamping. Like it's just something that's so important. And I think that it would save hundreds of thousands of lives if we would allow that cord to pulsate on its own and allow those babies to have that natural transition as they're transitioning down the Rainbow Bridge.
Again, we're really grateful that we got the chance to talk to you. Thank you, Lindsay.
Yeah, me too. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.